Picture this. You're on a cross country, cruising along at 4,500 feet. The weather is gorgeous. You've got Dallas-Fort Worth off your left wing. You're talking to approach. They've acknowledged you, and you think everything is fine. Then the call comes. Cessna, November 47 Papa, you are in Class Bravo airspace without a clearance. Say intentions. Your stomach drops. You thought you were cleared. The controller said radar contact 20 miles back. But radar contact is not a Bravo clearance. And the difference between those two phrases just cost you a pilot deviation report, a possible certificate action, and a conversation with your FSDO that you really did not want to have. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and this is Radio Hangar. Today we're doing a full Class Bravo airspace refresher, not because it's boring regulation stuff, but because Bravo busts happen to experienced pilots every single year, and they happen for the same reasons every single time. Let's make sure it doesn't happen to you. Before we get into it, a quick word for our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of your aviation journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial, real milestones, real coins. It's a way to mark the moments that matter, and honestly, it's one of the better gifts you can give a pilot in your life. AviationSoul.com. All right, Class Bravo. Every airspace class exists for a reason. Bravo exists because some airports are so busy, so complex, and handling so much iron that the Federal Aviation Administration decided a mandatory clearance requirement was the only way to keep things from becoming completely unmanageable. We're talking about the busiest commercial airports in the country. Think Atlanta, Los Angeles, Chicago O'Hare, Dallas-Fort Worth, New York, JFK, Denver, Miami. Places where jets are stacked up on approach, departure corridors are running all day long, and ATC is managing a workload that would make your head spin. The FAA designed Class Bravo to give controllers positive control over who is in that environment. Every aircraft in the Bravo has been specifically accounted for. That's the whole concept, and that's why the clearance requirement is so strict. So let's start with what the airspace actually looks like. Because if you've ever stared at a Class Bravo on a sectional chart and felt mildly confused, you're not alone. The symbology uses solid blue lines. Not the dashed blue lines you see around Class Delta, not the dashed magenta of Class Echo. Solid blue. Each ring of those solid blue lines represents a different floor and ceiling for a given section of the airspace. And the shape it creates is what instructors have been calling an upside-down wedding cake for decades. Here's why it's shaped that way. Think about what aircraft are doing at a major airport. They're arriving from all directions, descending on instrument approaches that might start 60 miles out. They're departing and climbing out. They're being vectored. The airspace is designed to contain all of that activity at the altitudes where that activity is actually happening. So, the innermost ring right over the primary airport extends from the surface up to a certain ceiling. Often it's 10,000 feet means sea level, but that varies by airport. Read the chart. The next ring out has a higher floor, maybe from 2,000 feet above mean sea level up to that same ceiling. The next ring out has an even higher floor, and so on. This means that as you get farther from the airport, the Bravo floor gets higher, which means there's more and more sky underneath it that you can fly through without ever entering the Bravo at all. That matters! That is one of the most practical things to understand about this airspace. If you're flying a route that takes you near a major airport, there may be perfectly legal altitude options that keep you entirely out of the Bravo. Check the sectional. Know the floors in your area. You might not need to deal with the Bravo at all, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you want to fly through it, or your route puts you in a position where you need to either enter or make a very deliberate decision to go around it. And that's where the explicit clearance rule becomes critical. Here's the regulation. Under 14 CFR 91.131, before you can operate in Class Bravo airspace, you need an ATC clearance, not an acknowledgement, not a traffic advisory, not radar contact, an actual clearance. The phrase you need to hear from the controller is cleared into the Bravo or cleared through the Class Bravo. Some controllers say it slightly differently, but the word cleared has to be in there in reference to the Bravo. If you don't hear that, you're not cleared. This is where pilots get into trouble. A controller might say something like, Cessna 47 Papa, traffic 12 o'clock, 5 miles, a 737, descend and maintain 3500. That is a traffic call and an altitude instruction. That is not a Bravo clearance. You are being managed to avoid traffic. You are not being cleared into the airspace. Another one that catches pilots off guard. You call approach and say you want to transition the Bravo. The controller comes back and says Cessna 47 Papa, Squawk 4321 ident. That's a transponder assignment. Still not a clearance. You haven't been told you're cleared into anything yet. The right move in that moment is to squawk the code, ident, and then wait. When the controller calls you back, listen for cleared into the Bravo. If they say anything else, or if they hand you off to another frequency and the new controller doesn't explicitly clear you, ask, say something like Cessna 47 Papa, request Bravo clearance. Put it right out there. Controllers are busy, but they appreciate clear communication, and asking the question is infinitely better than assuming you're already cleared. Now let's talk about the mode CVAIL, because this catches student pilots constantly around every class Bravo airport. There's an invisible ring 30 nautical miles from the primary airport. Inside that ring, even if you're not inside the Bravo itself, you are required to have an operating transponder with altitude encoding and an ADS-B out system. Under 14 CFR 91.215 and the ADS-B rules that went into effect in 2019. This is mandatory, no exceptions for most aircraft. So you could be flying at 1,000 feet beneath the Bravo floor, nowhere near the actual controlled airspace, and you still need Mode C and ADS-B out if you're inside that 30 nautical mile ring. A lot of pilots forget this or just don't know it. They look at the sectional, see they're technically below the Bravo, and figure they're fine. They might be legal in terms of airspace entry, but if they don't have the required equipment, they've got a different problem. The Mode C veil is depicted on sectionals as a dashed blue circle. Look for it. Know where it is around any Bravo airport you might be flying near. Now, here's something specific to student pilots that every CFI needs to make sure their students understand. Under 14 CFR 6195, student pilots need a specific logbook endorsement from their flight instructor before they can operate solo at airports within Class Bravo airspace, or operate solo in airspace underlying a Class Bravo, meaning in the airspace directly beneath the Bravo floor. There are also certain specific Bravo airports where student solo operations are simply not allowed at all. The FAA publishes that list, and it's worth knowing if you're training anywhere near a major hub. This isn't the instructor being overprotective, it's a regulation, and the endorsement is not just a signature. It's a deliberate conversation between the instructor and the student about the specific environment they're flying into, the communications expectations, the equipment requirements, and how to handle the unexpected. Have that conversation. Make sure the endorsement is in your logbook before you go anywhere near that airspace solo. All right, let's walk through what a proper Bravo transition actually looks like from the cockpit. You're planning a cross-country and your route takes you near a Class Bravo airport. Step one is before you even leave the ground. Pull up the sectional or your EFB. Look at where the Bravo rings are, what their floors and ceilings are, and decide early whether you're going through, under, or around. Don't make that decision when you're 15 miles out and already busy. If you decide you want to transit the Bravo, get your squawk code squared away early. Call approach well before you reach the airspace boundary. Give them a complete position report, something like Fort Worth approach, Cessna 172 November, 47 Papa, 15 miles northwest of the field, 4500 VFR requesting Bravo transition southbound. Give them everything they need, who you are, where you are, how high you are, what you want. The more information you put in that initial call, the less back and forth you need in a busy environment. If they can accommodate you, they'll clear you. If they're too busy or the traffic picture doesn't work, they'll say so. They might say, unable Bravo transition, maintain VFR outside the Bravo. That is your answer. You don't argue, you thank them and you route around it. And here's something I wish someone told me earlier in training. Unable Bravo is not a failure. It's not the controller being unhelpful. It's the system working exactly as designed. The whole point of positive control is that ATC decides who gets in. Sometimes the answer is not right now. Adjust, reroute, and move on. One more thing that a lot of students skip over, equipment requirements inside Class Bravo go beyond just the transponder and ADS-B under 14 CFR 91.215. You need a two-way radio capable of communicating with ATC. That seems obvious, but it matters. You need to be able to talk to them and they need to be able to reach you. No radio problems, no battery issues, no communication gaps. Also, you need to understand that operating in Class Bravo airspace means you're under ATC's authority for as long as you're in it. They will issue headings, altitudes, speed adjustments. You comply. If you can't comply with an instruction, say so immediately. Unable is a real phrase and controllers expect you to use it when an instruction is beyond your aircraft's capability or puts you in an unsafe situation. Never silently accept an instruction you cannot or should not follow. Let's talk briefly about what actually happens when someone busts the Bravo. When an aircraft enters Class Bravo without a clearance, ATC generates what's called a pilot deviation. That goes to the FAA Flight Standards District Office. Someone from the FSDO typically calls the pilot within a day or two. If you receive one of those calls, be polite, be honest, and immediately talk to an aviation attorney before you submit any written response. The Aviation Safety Hotline System also has a provision for self-reporting through the Aviation Safety Reporting System, and filing that report promptly can provide you some protections. But the best protection is never busting the airspace in the first place. The consequences can range from a warning letter and additional training to certificate suspension or revocation, depending on the severity and the pilot's history. It is not something to take lightly. Here's the practical takeaway for this whole segment. Class Bravo is manageable. Plenty of general aviation pilots transit it every single day without incident. The key is knowing what the clearance requirement actually means, checking the mode CVAIL before you fly near any major airport, having the right equipment, and communicating clearly with ATC before you get anywhere near that solid blue line. Know your floors, get your explicit clearance. And if you ever have any doubt about whether you've been cleared, ask. 30 seconds of clarification is infinitely better than a pilot deviation information for today's segment. Comes from the Federal Aviation Regulations, the Aeronautical Information Manual, and the FAA's Visual Sectional Chart User's Guide. You can find more resources and past segments at radiohangar.com. Fly safe out there. Know your airspace.